Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Living Arts of Tulsa's new Genre Festival 20 continues this weekend with several events and exhibit openings. One of this year's highlights is the two-woman show Expatriate, which had an acclaimed off-Broadway run in 2008. This dramatic theater piece features an all-vocal music performance that definitely isn't a musical, but it's not a play or a performance art piece either. In fact, it has elements of each of these genres. Lanel Moise is the creator of Expatriate, a Haitian-born American poet, playwright, and solo performing artist. She's the author of 8 theatrical works and plays, and her recent 2-act play, Merit, won last year's Ruby Prize, and she's currently a playwriting fellow at Boston's Huntington Theater. She joins me today on Studio Tulsa, along with her collaborator on Expatriate, actress and songwriter Carla Mosley. She's currently featured in the soap opera The Bold and the Beautiful, and also was a regular on Guiding Light for several years. She's active in theatrical productions in New York, television productions, and small roles in several films, including Burn After Reading. They'll be performing Expatriate tomorrow night and Saturday night at 8 o'clock at the Nightingale Theater at 1416 East 4th Street as a part of Living Arts of Tulsa's new genre festival. Lanel Moise and Carla Mosley, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I know people are looking forward to seeing Expatriate. I guess as you're reviving this, have you been doing it on and off? You were off Broadway in what, 2008?
2008, yes. We were off Broadway. And then, you know, ever since we've just been reconvening to tell the story. And we're working with a new design team and a new director than we did when we were off Broadway.
Uh-huh.
So the piece has more of a touring feel, and it's performance driven.
Yeah, we were joking yesterday that it's mandala theater. We all come together from, you know, we have a director from New Orleans and someone from Brooklyn and Lanel from Massachusetts and Texas and LA, and we all come together now right in the middle of the country. We're excited to be in Tulsa, but sort of create this event, and then it disappears.
Well, Lanel, give us a sense. What was the inspiration for Expatriate? It tells the story of these two best friends, mm-hmm. and you're talking everything about growing up African-American in America. You're also talking about insecurities. You're talking about being in show business, if you will. you know, the idea of how you deal with fame, how you deal with being in the business.
Yes. Well, Expatriate follows Claudie and Alphine, who I like to call them achingly platonic soulmates. They're really meant to be, but they're not quite sure how yet to be. And so we follow them from their childhood in Boston to, you know, being young artist students, really students of art and young artists in New York. And then for different reasons, they relocate to Paris. And once they're there, they form a singing duo called Black Venus, and they, you know, they make it big, so to speak. But really the piece is about, if a play is about anything, it's about really two different philosophies of art practice. My character, Claudie, is really diligent. She's Juilliard trained. She's very disciplined, quietly ambitious, just like a really hard-working rock star. And Alphine is born with it. She's just born to be a star.
She's got the thing.
And she believes in hard living and, you know, learning it, you know, just by living, really. And so you watch how that tension that they have really only gets amplified by fame. Those different philosophies of being, you know, they just kind of bloom into it once they're in Paris.
And why set it in Paris? I mean, I know you've had all the comparisons to Josephine Baker and that sort of thing. Was that an influence for you?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it really, the project started out of this question of what does a Josephine, like, what does it take to be a Josephine Baker or a Nina Simone? Who, you know, what do you have in you that says, I need to move, I need to relocate, I need to start over? And, you know, and of course, there's a wonderful history of American history, African-American history in Paris. James Baldwin, Richard Wright. I mean, we cite these names in the piece. There are many, many African-American artists who have
jazz musicians throughout Europe, but especially in Paris. Yeah.
And really, I mean, for them, it was, you know, a lot of it about being in a version of America that wasn't quite ready to see them. I think certainly for Nina Simone, her identity as a musician really became forefront when she relocated to France, whereas in the United States, she was a black girl. And so she really got to become the Nina Simone that we know because she moved.
Yeah, and really transcendent. You know, when you think about Josephine Baker, this was a person who probably could have run for president. If
no, I mean, she did a lot.
Yeah. Well, Carla, what attracted you to this particular piece?
The challenge of it. It's interesting.
You're playing Alphine.
I'm playing Alphine, and I was out to lunch with a friend, and our director in New York came and was just talking to him, you know, because they knew each other, and she turned to me and said, "Do you act and sing?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, because you look like I've imagined this character to look like, would you like to come in for an audition?" I mean, just typical story that never happened. And so I said, "Yes, of course." But when I got the script, I actually thought that I'd be reading for Claudie, who's more reserved and kind of what I imagined to be closer to who I am and the characters I usually play. And I went in and they said, "Oh, no, you're reading Alphine." Oh, what? And just thought, there's no way this is happening. And they said, "Great," and called me back. And, you know, but I had an instant connection to Alphine, and she's sort of the character I've always wanted to play.
Is that sort of against your type? I assume it's very much against your type.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's so out there and raw, and, you know, and as Linnell said, really enjoys hard living and kind of gets off on it. And I tend to be a little bit more conservative and in bed by 8 o'clock and up at 6.
Yeah. Is that the typical roles you play when you're you know, you're on television?
Well, what's so beautiful about Linnell's writing and this piece of work is that she's writing a black female character that is not normally seen. So, you know, to get to play someone who, yes, is dealing with addiction and, you know, being sexually liberated and but also repressed in some ways, you know, but she's also intelligent and a revolutionary in her own right and a brilliant musician. And, you know, so I think I get to play aspects of these characters, mm-hmm. but never someone who's this complex and three-dimensional and four-dimensional, five-dimensional, you know, like all, she has all of these pieces. She's a full, living, breathing human being, and that's pretty rare.
And what's also interesting about this piece is, I don't know whether to call it it's not a musical, it's not really a play, it's more of a performance piece, would you say? Performance play, maybe?
I think definitely it's a hybrid piece. I mean, I'm formally trained in the theater, and I'm a playwright, and I write more traditional plays. But this piece really is a bridge to something that I want to see more and more happening in the theater, which is a fusion of different forms. So it's a song cycle. It's a choreo poem in the tradition of Ensesaki Shange. It's and it certainly has a linear narrative, too. I think any audience can follow the story very clearly. We watch these girls from their childhood again to, you know, to the ends of their career. So it's really... it's something new. It is expatriate. I don't know what else to say about it. It's its own kind of form.
And of course, the music is really, really interesting because it's got hip hop. It's also got, I would say, word jazz almost. You know, I'm going back to the 1970s or 80s for that.
I'm into it.
Yeah, you know, it also has, you know, your vocalese, modern vocalese, what we call contemporary vocalese today. And it's just sort of this amalgam of music. So it's sort of like the piece itself. It's sort of a play. It's sort of aspects of choreo. What did you call it?
Choreo poem.
And so this music is also really interesting. Now, did you write all the music, or did you two do it together? Or
I composed the music, but Carla was became involved with the project right in the middle of my writing the script and the music. Really, she was sort of with me the whole time. We put together. For so long
it's
now.
It's wonderful.
It's so good. And so eventually I began to write for her voice. And we have, I mean, you can even probably just hear it in the interview. We have very different tones. I go really deep. She goes really high. And you come to see the show to hear some knockout notes. But really, the music was composed very organically and with her voice in mind. And so we do a lot of counterpoint. You know, there's really great harmonies happening. And you know, moments of discord where our voices are not competing, but, you know, just not quite meeting. So it was really fun to compose this music. It's all vocal. So everything that you hear, the percussive layering, the melody, all of it is, you know, the voice as an instrument. So it was really fun to layer with loop machines, and we do that live and also singing.
And you have a CD called The Expatriate Amplification Project, and let's hear a track from this. And so is this a piece we'll actually hear in the show, Roller Coaster?
Yes, you will.
All right, well, let's hear a little sampling of Roller Coaster, part of Expatriate, which will be performed at New Genre 20. Let's hear a little music. That's music from Expatriate by my guest today, written by my guest today, Linnell Moise, a poet, playwright, and performance artist. Carla Mosley is the other principal in Expatriate, Linnell Moise's piece, which is going to be performed at the Nightingale Theater as a part of New Genre 20. Now, you mentioned that Carla came into the process about halfway through. How did that affect the writing of the character? And one of the things you have said is that your two characters are platonic soulmates. Now, I know that's also called acting, but talk about, you know, how you came to have that sort of relationship that you can portray on stage.
We had a really unusual auditioning process for Expatriate, where I sort of taught a workshop as part of auditioning. I really, it was important to me that whoever was cast as Alphine was somebody that I could play with, that I enjoyed playing with. And so we did a, you know, a vocal jazz workshop, basically, and Carla was the person in that circle who I kept returning to and bouncing off of, and who just had such a great ear and was a really great listener. And, you know, one of the things about that kind of process is that it takes the competition out of it, really. You know, suddenly everybody is collaborating as an ensemble, even though, you know, everybody's trying out for the same part. They're really, they get to be a collective. And some actors do that better than others, and Carla just was so present and open, and it was just what I needed to keep writing the music.
Yeah, it was absolutely one of the best audition processes I've ever been involved with, because there is this sense of competition, and that was just, it was wonderful to just be in a room creating with these other women, and it was so playful and joyous. And
I would think that the audition process would sort of have to enter your mind at some point as you're even doing this. You're sort of trying to lose yourself in the moment, but at the same time you're thinking, there's a part at the end of this, or there's not a part in the end of this.
Yeah, you know, maybe in the callback, but, you know, where it was sort of more structured, you know, you went in and read a scene, and those feelings probably came up. And, you know, as you get closer, there's the wanting, the desire becomes stronger. That always enters in. But I have to say that for a performer, at least for this performer, to be able to collaborate with people, and when it becomes a playful thing and where you're just creating art, then it's much easier to lose yourself in it, because you're able to just be involved in the creative process and say, you know, if this part's for me, it's for me. If it's not, it's not. But I get to be present here right now. Yeah. And how wonderful is that?
And this piece sounds like it is a piece that you really do lose yourself in.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a mountain. It's a real beast. And one of the challenges, I think, of our mandala sort of format is that we have to, you know, it takes stamina. You have to sort of build stamina to be, because it's a full-length piece. And often if it's a one or two
person
show,
it's just the two of you.
Yeah, it'll be shortened. And this is not shortened. This is a full-length, you know. And so, and vocally challenging and physically challenging, you know. So to come in and
just
pull it together, yeah, it really, takes a lot, and sometimes you forget. You know, we were just saying, oh my goodness, body is aching. Yes. But it's the best kind of ache. But just as far as getting lost, you know, you start in the beginning, and it's like, how am I going to get to the end? But these characters and their story is just so exhilarating and complicated, and every time we come to it, we find new things. And every audience that is with us and creating the story with us, each night that we do it, helps us to find new things.
Starting as children and ending up wizened, maybe even bitter, or affirmed characters at the end of this piece, that's a long road for a two-person play. Now, oftentimes you'll see a one-person show that does that, and it's a singular vision. But the idea of a two-person show, that's a little different, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I should say, too, that in addition to playing Claudie and Alphine, we also play three male roles. Uh-huh. We play Omar, Claudie's brother, Alphine's partner, Jack, who's a stranger that Claudie meets in Paris, and Paul Patterson, who emerges as an interviewer, actually, sometimes on a radio show, sometimes
live. There's no role for me. Oh, gosh. Well.
So that's also, I mean, those other characters help tell the story. But, you know, it's always through our two bodies.
But you're on stage the whole time, though.
We're on stage the whole time. And it's amazing. It's an amazing amount of focus. When you're in a multi-character play, usually there's a moment where you, you're not speaking, or you're sort of off stage. When you're in a solo show, I do a lot of solo performance. The audience becomes a collaborator, really, a lot of times in that ritual. In a two-person show, it's really just the players, you know, responding to each other.
Right. There is definitely a fourth wall there.
That's right. There's a fourth wall. I think we break it a little bit with our concert numbers, but for the most part, yes, it's you're inside of their world. You're observing what they're going through.
All right. Well, we hope a lot of people come out to Expatriate at New Genre 20 this weekend at the Nightingale Theater. My guests today are Lynell Moyes, the poet, playwright, and performance artist, Carla Mosley, actress and songwriter. So this piece originally, I guess, premiered in 2008, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had a great off-Broadway experience.
You did.
And did that open? I mean, incredible New York Times review, which, you know, they do off-Broadway occasionally, but, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's... You know, that's a big door opener. Did it open some doors for both of you?
I think so. I think it did. I think it certainly raised awareness about the piece. I think it was really great for theater in general that our production proved that theater like this could exist, that, you know, you could come and see this thing that wasn't quite a musical or, you know, a traditional play, but that it was engaging and theatrical and exciting. We had such a wonderfully diverse audience, and this has been true everywhere that we've gone since. In New York, we had people diverse in every way in terms of age, race, class, sexual orientation, gender expression, people who had never come to see theater before, who didn't even think they liked theater or loved this show. And I think it's because it's such a hybrid piece. There's something in it for everyone. So I think it just, you know, certainly wherever we go, because of the New York experience, people are excited to see the show. They've heard about it maybe, or they're just willing to go on this journey with these two performers.
And Carla, for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that it's a piece that we did 5 years ago now in New York, and still to this day people ask me about it and remember moments from it. It's really astounding how it touches people and in very, very different ways and on many different levels. And as Lynell said, I mean, from like my mother-in-law who drove up to Boston to see us do it, you know, to a young teenager who's never seen a piece of theater before.
And for an actress, you know, you're invested in the piece, but you didn't write the piece you're still coming back to it 5 years later.
Oh, yeah. I love
it. I'm so lucky.
I mean, we really just love working together, but Alphine is such a fabulous character, and it is that what we get to create and what we get to learn every time is so special.
It's a very challenging show. And I mean, I think my goal always as a playwright is to give actors work that they get to feel like artists in. Mm-hmm. you know, not just actors, because I think, you know, the model usually is, you know, that actors are interchangeable, that anybody could play the part. And, you know, I know that, Carla brings something to the role of Alphine that is uniquely Carla's. It's about her skill, her, you know, what she brings to the table as an artist. And so it's just great to get to witness somebody, you know, loving a piece as much as I do.
Yeah. Now, this is kind of a silly question, but I just want to ask you, you know, every new piece that a person writes, whether it's a musical work, you know, there's something you learn from the experience. Mm. And one thing I've heard both of you say, this is really hard. What did you learn about Expatriate that, you know, you're now a playwriting fellow at the Huntington Theater in Boston,
yes,
which is that's a great little
it's
gig.
Wonderful.
So what did you learn from Expatriate that you're applying to your craft now?
That's such a great question. I learned that audiences, American audiences, are ready to see full Black women characters on stage, which is something that, you know, I've been challenged about before as in my career as a playwright, people going, well, I'm not sure that, you know, this is commercial enough or that it's, you know, that we're ready for it. But audiences are. They're excited to see that. So I continue to create characters who are full human beings.
And in your case, your character, Claudie, you know, she is a professional woman, really.
Yes.
You know, there's so many stereotypical Black women roles.
Yes.
That roles like this need to exist, and people will, of course, come out for roles like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's I think of course people will. I think it's just a, you know, where I know that today anybody who heard Nina Simone today would just love her, right?
Yeah.
Without any question. But there's still a segment of the population that may not know that they love it. So I think it's our job as artists to just make that invitation and say, hey, come see, you'll love it. There's something in it for you.
Now, are you still experimenting in this sort of hybrid form? I mean, is this sort of your writing style? Or are you writing traditional plays?
You know, I feel like every play is its own. The characters really tell me the form of the piece, like how the story needs to be told is really dictated by the characters and their needs. In a play about musicians, it made total sense to have music.
Right.
My newest play, Merit, is definitely more traditional, and it's a comedy, and it follows an African-American fiction writer in her graduate writing program. It's really about her inappropriate relationship with her professor. So it's and her
maybe not
colleagues.
So much music.
No, not music at all. But certainly in that play, I explore what it means to be a fiction writer. And writing in prose novel form was new for me with that project.
Now, Expatriate was a 2-person play. Your earlier work, was it also geared for like one woman or two people, or was it more of a cast sort of situation?
I supported my playwriting for a very long time by being a solo performer.
Right. So that's another transition. Well, with the Huntington Theater,
yes,
at this point, you have a cast,
I have a table reading coming up with, you know, at the Huntington. So it's great. I mean, it's great to have that resource and that access to actors in a professional theater environment. I've always been writing plays for other actors, for many characters. I have a play called The Many Faces of Neo that's 9 actors, you know, that I don't think I could be in that show. It's not really for me to play. Claudie is, I can play Claudie. So it's always changing, really. I just sort of stick to what the story needs.
And Carla, what are you doing when you're not flying off to Tulsa to be an expatriate?
Very different genre. Well, in some ways. I'm on The Bold and the Beautiful on CBS, and I was on The Guiding Light before that, and also on a kids show called High Five. So those are, I do a lot of film and TV, and I also write. I write music, and about 2 years ago, I decided to really start committing to picking up the pen again, and it's just been a really wonderful process. So
I hear soaps are great training grounds, but they're just a grueling, grueling schedule. Mm-hmm. Have you found that to be the case?
Mm-hmm. We are lucky in that, in The Bold and the Beautiful, it's a half-hour show, so we get time off, but it also means that we shoot 8 episodes a week, and so, you know, there are some days you'll have 70 pages of script to learn.
Wow.
And then another 70 the next day. So it's your brain sort of starts oozing out of your ear after a while. But it's great, you know, keeps your brain supple.
Exactly. And it's, you're kind of like the, you know, the last performers in vaudeville, because the soaps are sort of starting to disappear, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And it's a great genre because they're so supportive. The writers are so supportive, much like Linnell, you know, was as far as supporting the artist's talents and what they come with. And they've actually, I just performed on the show last week a song
you sang? Yeah.
That I wrote, and they were absolutely open to that. And, you know, so they're it's a really wonderful place. And it's like a family, because you have people who have been working on the show for 25, 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so those older characters are sort of like the parents of the whole.
Oh, yeah. 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 And they really keep it just pure and happy and wonderful.
Well, that's great. We look forward to Expatriate. It should be a great show. Linnell, Carla, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a treat.
Poet, playwright, and performer Linnell Moise and actress and songwriter Carla Mosley speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. They portray Claudie and Alphine in Moise's performance piece, Expatriate, which is a part of the New Genre 20 Festival. Performances are tomorrow night and Saturday night at 8 o'clock at the Nightingale Theater at 1416 East 4th Street. For more information about New Genre Festival, all the offerings, as well as Expatriate, visit livingarts.org. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Dr. John Henning Schumann.
A colleague and I recently wrote an editorial for a major medical journal. He and I were ticked off that more and more of our patients seem to fall prey to the marketing hype around cash-based, no doctor's order required commercial screening tests. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for do-it-yourself medicine, provided you have some knowledge, motivation, a good attitude, and know how to get help when you need it. I also applaud the right of people to spend their money the way they want, on entertainment or medical tests, or hey, medical tests as entertainment. But what I don't like is when marketers scam people, oversell them, overpromise them, and sell them things they don't necessarily need to make a buck. And do it under the guise of, this could save your life. And tell it to you at church or the shopping mall, where you're easy prey. What my colleague and I want for these commercial screening entities is to come clean. Tell the customers which of these tests are actually indicated. That's medicalese for appropriate. Otherwise, people are just getting a bill of goods. Well-intentioned customers wind up with either false reassurance, the test was never indicated, so of course it wouldn't find something, or worse, unnecessary anxiety. These tests find things that require follow-up, even when they shouldn't have been done and the finding is benign. It's simple, really, a disclaimer of some sort. The problem with this is that it affects their business model. Their profits are predicated on being able to sell these tests to everybody, not just subsets of patients at higher risk. They prey on our naive beliefs that A, more tests are good, B, tests are infallible, and C, they wouldn't offer these tests if there was any chance of harm, right? When we've called companies that do this locally, we're told that these are recommended tests for anyone. Come clean, commercial screeners. We're on to you.
Dr. John Henning Schumann is a local physician. He is the head of the Internal Medicine Residency Program at the University of Oklahoma School of Community Medicine and the writer of the blog Glass Hospital. He's a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.